Here we go. We are now live and recording. For those of you who are at Facebook, I do want to invite you to come to our chat room when the session's over and we go into more the party time afterwards. You'll definitely want to be in the room during that time because we're going to turn it off, and we also are going to turn off the recordings, and it'll just be what happens in the room will stay in the room. So we do want to invite you because we don't want to leave you out, but we're also going to turn it off. So just to give you guys just a little idea of what this is, we are celebrating the last day, as sad as this is, of our retreat, our online retreat that we've had this week. And tonight, I can't tell you how happy I am to be welcoming one of my pretty new friends. However, I knew the minute that we began talking, we were going to be forever friends. Aww. And she's just amazing. She loves the Lord so much. She loves her family. I think you're going to love getting to meet Dana. So I will let her tell you more about herself. But you guys, I have shared a little bit about her, you know, finding her online. She has a website, and you can find it at angelarts.biz.
Right.
So definitely check her out. Oh, my goodness. She has so many great things right there on her website. One of the things I'm excited about tonight is because we're going to get just a taste of one of her Bible studies that she teaches. And it's right here on our topic of that's right along with prepare and preparing the bride. So I'm really looking forward to that. But she has, get this, a creative arts agency and a publishing house. If you need someone to help you market your books, get your books, get this, on Kindle. Am I correct, Dana?
I can get it on Kindle Publishing, Kindle Direct Publishing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She can help you with those details and help you to take that next step. There's a lot of writers in our midst. And so I want to shout out about that. But also, she's a homeschooling mom to an Asperger's son, Sam. And she helped her husband start his architectural business. And we were talking about that earlier. And she helps him with his marketing and his administration as well. You're going to see what I'm saying when I say she is just truly a kindred spirit. She does things like I do things, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and yes, a lot of this and a lot of that. And I just enjoy it. But you know what I love is that her hope is that we will reach new heights and beyond. And I'll let her fill you in on that. And I'm going to just sit back and enjoy learning from her tonight. So welcome, Dana.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate this opportunity and being able to chat with you all here. And I wish I could have been with you at the retreat, but you'll find out why I could not be when I give my talk. But yeah, I been homeschooling for over 10 years and married to a brilliant architect who also has Asperger's. So it's a crazy household sometimes. But I find that God is in it and he works through us and somehow he's in control. So it's wild, a wild ride, but it's a good journey and it will be all worth it in the end. And, you know, that's what my life has always been about, is reaching new heights. From as far as I can remember, I always wanted to challenge myself and to become close to God. So, and when I think back to my childhood, when I accepted him into my heart, when I was about 8, I remember feeling such joy and closeness to him. I would sing songs to him. I would make them up right there on the spot, often on the playground. I was this really weird kid, you know. And those were my best childhood memories, though, was just singing songs to Jesus that I would make up. However, when I was a teenager, I turned my back on him for a number of years. And then when I was in college, I surrendered my heart to him. At age 19, I got involved in the Navigators at college, and they taught me how to do Bible study and devotionals and scripture memory and prayer and a lot of foundational things. And so I had this sense that I was falling in love with Jesus all over again, and it was incredible. there was this intense joy, and I felt extremely close to Jesus, like kind of like how I had when I was a child. And then flash forward 9 years later, when I met my husband on a blind date, by the way, in the castle. But I was falling in love with him, I fell in love with Jesus all over again. And I recognize that there's a connection, obviously. I mean, marriage is a metaphor of the church and God and the end of time. So I recognized that, and I knew that my ultimate destination is to become God's bride. And that marriage is a preparation for that. That's how I saw it. Now, after we got married over 21 years ago, we experienced some extremely hard times, just, you know, mainly the Great Recession in 2008, 2009, 2010. And I realized that I could only get through it by falling in love with Jesus all over again. It's the only way I could do it. And I need to backtrack. Before I got married, I saw that connection. And that's when I talked to some friends of mine who are in the same kind of journey, and that's when we decided to start this Bible study called Becoming God's Bride, and that's how that came about. And so I started studying passages on bride and love and bridegroom, and I started studying the Jewish traditions of the bride and what that meant. And so that's how I prepared for my wedding, and then, woo. And then I turned that into a Bible study, which I'll talk about. Cindy, you're going crazy. I'll talk about it in a little bit. But that's how I knew that I needed to fall in love with Jesus. And so when we were going through this hard time, you know, years later, I realized I've got to fall in love with Jesus again. That's the only way I'm going to get through this. And now we're going through another hard time. It's COVID is... You know, it's affecting us. And just this last week, I'll tell you a little story, crazy story. We went camping in the southern mountains of Colorado. And this was supposed to be a time that, you know, we unloaded our stress and got close to nature and hiked and all this stuff that we love to do. So the first full day, I blew out my knee hiking down a hill. And then the second day, my son realized that the car brakes weren't working. So we had to go to a town 40 miles away and fix the brakes, which cost some money. And then we came back to our campsite. And by the way, we saw a bear on our way back. That was fun. We saw a black bear. So we came back, we had this nice night of camping in this wilderness site. There was no services, nothing. It was black. It was all dark and kind of spooky at first, but it was really fun. We had our trout, we sang songs, a cappella, you know, had a great family time. And then the next day, which was yesterday, after my son and I went for a little walk, we headed out. And so we were going north on this mountain road. Not 5 miles after we left, my son says, he's 19, he was driving, he says, I have no second gear, you have to pray. My husband and I were praying, and then we found a turnout on the top of this hill, and we stopped there, and we unhitched, I could not say that, and Sam tested the car, would not go into reverse, would not go into second. And then right as we were doing that, two cars stopped, and they were both Texans. There was an elderly couple and another man who was 60 or so. And they both said, when we told them what was going on, they both said, you don't want to drive that car down the mountain. And here we are on top of basically a mountain in Colorado. We're 3 hours from home. And the car, we can't drive the mountain down the car. So I called my dad and I said, we're in trouble. So thankfully there was phone reception. That would have been really bad if we had no phone reception. So my dad said he would come and he would be there about 6:30 at night. And then in the meantime, while we were waiting for him, I called my insurance company and they said, yes, they would get a tow truck out there. So they got the tow truck and, or we got the tow truck out there, man named Gabe, and he took it down to the next town, down the mountain. And so the car was gone. And my son, again, he has Asperger's. He was really upset and he was crying. And this whole time I'm kind of like removed from my feelings, like kind of disconnected, or is this really happening? Or, you know, kind of trying not to think about it, trying not to feel. But when my son started crying, you know, then that affects me because I hate to see him struggle. But he explained to me that losing the car is like losing a family pet. You know, it's the whole male car kind of thing. So it's like, you know, I feel so awful. My son has gone through so much and now this. And so, so anyway, the tow truck guy came, took the car away. I have to take a sip of water. And after that, the couple from Texas came back to check on us. And they said, is there anything we can do? And, you know, we're fully equipped with a 19-foot camper. We had water, we had food pretty much. If we had to, we could have spent the night there. You know, we were out in the wilderness, but, you know, we had everything we really needed. So I said, you know, what we really need is prayer. And I could tell immediately that they were Christians. And that was why they came back. And I said something about our finances being tight. And then he pulls out $50 and gives me $50. And it wasn't like I was begging for money, you know, I just was asking for prayer. And so we had this really neat conversation and I just was touched because I felt like God did. He came through in the midst of being stranded, feeling completely desolate in a desert place, not knowing what's going on, if we're going to have a car, you know, because it's the transmission, the car is 18 years old, who knows what's going to happen. So I'm just standing there crying pretty much and thinking about how God prompted this couple, this elderly couple from Texas, to come check on us. And they actually went out of their way to come check on us. And so it was a sign to me, a realization that God hadn't forgotten me, that he really did remember and he knew about all our hardship and he was in it and he was working. So that was an incredible thing to me yesterday. So then finally, my dad came. Oh, after that, I got out my 12-string guitar. So here I am on a mountainside, and I just decided to belt songs on my 12-string guitar to the forest. So I'm singing all these songs, and my throat was kind of cracked, but, you know, it didn't matter. But so I sang some songs, and then we got ready to go. My dad came about 6:30, and we got down to the mountain. We got down the mountain. We went to Subway. I told the Subway gal the story, and she says, oh, what towing company was it? And she says, I said, Gabe's. And she said, oh, they're a good company. It's a good thing it wasn't the other company because they tend to overcharge. Well, what happened was USAA originally, I think it was that company they assigned me to, but that didn't work out. So they assigned me this Gabe person. And his father-in-law is going to look at the car next week. And he is a good guy and he's honest. So God was even looking out for us in that aspect. So that kind of put my mind at ease about that. And so finally, you know, we got home, we got to Colorado Springs about 11 and we had to dump all the black water and the gray water of the camper. So we went to the service station on the south side of town. We get all that done, start the car, the truck, the lights would not work. They would not work on the camper. They're totally gone. They were fine. And then all of a sudden they were totally gone. I called my nephew and his wife. I'd be giving them updates all the time. They live close to us. They work with us. And so I told them what was going on. And so my husband drove the truck, my dad's truck and the camper to our house. And thankfully, we didn't get stopped, even though we passed a police car. Nobody stopped us. We were fine. There wasn't much traffic. And it turned out that my nephew and his wife were here waiting for us, because when I told them the news about the lights, they said, "That's not a coincidence. They're being attacked and we need to be there." And they said, God told them to come here. And so they came and they opened the house. They turned the lights on, and my niece helped my husband and son get through parking the camper, because it's an ordeal. So then about 12:30, we had an emergency family meeting, prayer meeting. Just crazy. But the thing was, I saw God in action. And what my nephew told me is that God has been chiseling me for years. I'm a much changed person. Even in the last year, I've done things this year that I would have never imagined. And God is just chiseling me. He's sculpting me. And that's how he does. That's what he does with his people. That's what he does with his bride. That's the process of becoming his bride. It's not easy. Not easy at all, but it's definitely worth it. So yeah, we're going through trial upon trial, and it feels like it's blow upon blow, but somehow, some way, God's in control and he's going to take care of all these details. I don't know how yet, but he's going to. So that's my crazy camping trip story. But the thing is, relationships can go stale. Relationships can get cold. Jesus warns us about that in Revelations, where the church gets, they lose their first love. And that's so easy for us to do, whether in marriage or with our relationship with God. And it's moments like I described in my camping trip that we can take a different turn and look at things a different way and fall in love with him all over again. So, because sadly, you know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt and we can get complacent, but that's why falling in love with him all over again is so, so important. That's part of becoming his bride. So that's embarking on a transformative journey to become more like him, because that's the whole point, is becoming more like him. And the more intimate we are with him, the more we will share that with others. Like, I just shared that whole thing with a stranger in Subway, which seemed really strange, but I did, because it just naturally came out. And then we'll find more joy and we'll grow more. And then our relationships as a result will be better. Now, like I said, that's not easy, but it's essential in the Christian walk to fall in love with Jesus. And it's a thrilling journey. It really is. I mean, I have to say, being stuck on the mountain side was pretty thrilling. Nothing I ever went through before. I'm about practicalities. That's how I am. So how can we practically fall in love with Jesus all over again and again and again and again? Well, first of all, and all this is very obvious, but is to spend time in his word. That's so important. And sadly, so many Christians don't even know their Bibles. They don't read it consistently. You know, Apostle John in John 1, he says that Jesus is the Word of God. And so it's extremely important that we know the Bible backwards and forwards. It's food. You know, we can't, now I have hypoglycemia, so I can't go, you know, a few hours without food. My niece knows, and she makes sure that I get, you know, the food I need. But it's the same way with God's word. We really need it on a consistent basis, more than once a week, more than even once a day. Very important. And I've often heard the story of, you know, when an agent is looking for counterfeit money, they don't study the counterfeit money, they study the original. And so we need to know the original really well so that we won't fall prey to today's errors of thought. And we all know that that's very prevalent right now, very prevalent. And that danger of that is that it could take us away from falling in love with Jesus. So that's one very important aspect, is to spend time in his word. And then, of course, part of the scripture is the Psalms. And I love the Psalms. I've been reading the Psalms consecutively, twice a day, morning and night, for many, many years. In fact, it's such a habit, I can't not do it. I have to. It's like brushing my teeth. And that has given me so much direction and peace and comfort. God speaks to me exactly when I need it through those Psalms. It's just incredible. So reading the Psalms day and night, or at least once a day, is a really great strategy, a wonderful way to get close to God. And then, of course, the third way to fall in love with Jesus is through prayer. That is how we can get close to Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, if you want to get to know somebody, if you want to build a relationship, you have to spend time with them. And it's no different with God. And that is prayer. And it's a two-way conversation. And that's why reading the Bible is so important, because it's Him speaking to us. It's a love letter to us. And through prayer, we can offer up praises, thanksgivings, confessions, burdens, questions, concerns, problems, hopes, dreams, and so much more. We can tell Him our heart. And He already knows all of it anyway. He's not disturbed by anything that we say. So that helps us focus attention on Him rather than the challenges. And that's another thing I learned long ago through all these challenges we've been through, is that, yeah, we have problems and we need to work through them and we need to tackle them, but by falling in love with Jesus, it helps me to focus on Him rather than the challenges. Kind of like Peter walking on water. When you look at Jesus, when you focus on Him, you are not going to fall because of the winds and the waves. But if you look at the winds and the waves, overwhelmed, drown. So very, very important. And then we know that prayer is powerful in the hands of believers. James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Prayer isn't some mamby-pamby activity. It's extremely important, especially spiritual warfare prayer. You know, taking that sword of the Spirit, taking on the armor of God, like it says in Ephesians 6. And sadly, in the last decade, I've seen a lot of Christians, churches, organizations just kind of sweep prayer aside and say, oh, we're too busy for that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're in the state we are in today, is because it was just put aside and it wasn't a focus. And so it's something that really needs to be brought back. And I'm seeing it brought back, especially in our own church, and it's really exciting. So prayer is vital. Now, the fourth way to become or to fall in love with Jesus over and over and again, is through journaling. I'm a journaler. I have been since I was 10. But to me, journaling is a way to fall in love with Jesus. It's writing love letters to Him. It's getting my feelings out. It's telling my stories to Him. It's asking Him questions. It's recording prayers and putting down the answers. It's very encouraging when you do that. And it's a powerful way of connecting with Him. And now I know many people are like, well, that's too overwhelming. I couldn't possibly do a journal because, you know, that's too much time. Well, yeah, it's hard. I agree, especially when you're a mother and you have other duties and jobs and et cetera. So what I found is that I just take a little journal. Like I got this, I get these at Walgreens, just a really little tiny journal. And I write one page a day on average, not every single day, but I try to write one page a day and just write what I'm feeling or what's going on. Now, today's journal was a lot longer because I told the whole story. but that's how I get journaling in every day. Now, other times I've done devotional journals, which I turned into some books, but I'll ask questions like, in my journal, I'll ask, what is God saying to me today? And then what does He want me to do? Because we can read the Bible, but if we don't follow it and practice it, then it's not going to make that transformative difference. So, and then the other thing that I've done that's really inspiring is to ask, how do I feel about myself today? And then write, how does God feel about me? I did this once in a devotional I did about identity in Christ. And at first in the journal, it was wide apart how I felt about myself and how God felt about me. So as I went on in the study, it came closer and closer and closer. It was very powerful way to journal. So that's the fourth way. And the fifth way to fall in love with Jesus is through what I call, what others call, soaking prayer. And that's where you let God talk to you. You're just still, you're not saying anything to Him. You're just letting Him speak to you. And that's just spending time in His presence, spending time at His feet, spending time, you know, just with Him. It's not emptying your mind. I want to make that clear. how I like to do it is I like to listen to meditative music and just lie down on the couch or something and listen to some kind of music or spoken word that speaks to me. And doing that about an hour a week is a very restful activity, and you'll come away refreshed and revived. Because face it, you can't pour out what hasn't been poured in. So if you don't have anything in you because you're starving yourself spiritually, then you're not going to have much to give. So that's why that kind of spiritual self-care is so important. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit it's hard sometimes and I don't always do it, but it's an important goal. So that's basically all I had to share. My heart is that falling in love with Jesus is a lifelong pursuit. It's something that can be done over and over and over again, because this is a journey. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But doing that has just incalculable rewards. And I want to remind all of you ladies that Jesus loves you. You're his prized possession. That spending time with him in word and prayer is worth it. And through that, you'll discover life transformation, and you'll be in that process of becoming his bride. And one day it will be, we will see him face to face. And for me, I want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to be like that servant in the parable about the talents that invested her talents to God's glory. And I want him to say that to me. So that is what ultimately motivates me, is knowing that someday I will be his bride, and God willing, he will say that to me. So now that's my hope and prayer for all of you.
Wow. If you could only know how intertwined you are with everybody else, it would blow you away, especially even with last night, because that would be the part I left off, is that falling in love with him. And it's just absolutely perfect. So thank you for that. But I do want to like tap into some of that, because you probably saw my reaction when I love what you said about journaling for what you see about yourself and what God sees about you, and it coming together. Tap into that a little bit. That was really like, I was going, wow, that sounds like a assignment for me this weekend.
The Navigators, when I was in college, gave these incredible lists of devotional plans, and one was centered around identity in Christ. And so that's the passages I studied, and it's so powerful. One of these days, I'm going to turn that into a book, just that devotional. Of course, I'm going to take all the personal, really personal stuff away, but it's really powerful to think about that, you know, how you think about yourself and how God thinks about you. I remember a long time ago, when I was a teenager, I had this young man who we had this long conversation, hours and hours, and he took my hand and he said, "You should see yourself the way I see you. Wonderful." And I always look back on that memory and I think, you know, that's what God is saying to us. We really need to look at ourselves the way God sees us. So.
But even more. Yes, exactly. I was sharing last night about the wedding, the process of the Hebrew wedding. Mm-hmm. And I mean, looking at Genesis to Revelation and looking to see just how much God thinks of us and how precious we are, that he didn't want heaven without us. He did go to all these lengths to redeem and to pay the bride price, so we have everything we need all of our life. There's just so much there about how he sees us and what he sees us as. And one of the things that really jumped out to me on you when I was preparing yesterday, and I think I shared it last night, was how that when the groom goes home to prepare a place for his bride, that usually his best man, his best friend, is the friend that goes between the groom and the bride and shares what the groom is thinking and what the what he's up to and what how he sees things. And I think about the Holy Spirit as the ultimate helper who also makes sure we have all the things we need provision wise. He's there to encourage us. He's there. He was right there in the middle of all the messy chaos for you this week. And
it was chaos.
And my heart was just hurting for you hearing that because, wow, talk about a good thing going bad.
You know, we're supposed to go camping September 13th. Borrow my dad's camper.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, truck, yeah.
Yeah, that's hard, man. I can't even fathom. But then, you know, you think about, you know, God is so there. He's so, I mean, sent you the people that could help you right then.
Yeah.
It's just everything about it. He's that kind of a lover of our soul. He just loves us if we can really grasp it.
Mm-hmm. And he did last night at a mountaintop where I thought, where is God? I don't know. But he showed up in the form of Texans. Texans are good Samaritans. And they're angels.
I have a lot of sweet family in Texas. And yes, I totally agree with that.
Well, my husband is Texan, so yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to jump in? You can unmute your mic and jump in. Man, I love this. I love because as a single girl right now, I just think about, you know, just how precious I am to him and how he's just as in love with me. And more so because he can be so much more in love with me. He sees us as we really are. And I just love that. And I love that you were talking about reading two Psalms a day and keep continuing through that because I did a study years ago through Psalms and it was with school. And the one thing that I thought of when you said the word Psalms was of all the things that you'd just gone through, all the emotions that you must have felt this week. And the Psalms are very parallel to how we feel. And the one thing that God, I think, wants to communicate to us, this one of the things he wants to communicate through the Psalms is that he's okay with our emotions. He's okay with how we feel. He's okay with our ups, our downs, our anythings.
That's
you know,
that's why I love them. And it's funny how they just go along with how I'm feeling every single time. Every time.
Yeah. He's so good. And it's okay. He's okay with that. He's okay with even that intimacy of being able to speak to him at times when no one else is there. He's there. And I just love the with us part of his, you know, he says that's part of his name. He's a with us God.
Yeah.
And love that part of him. So, okay, I'm hogging her up. Anybody want to jump in?
I had a little experience today with one of my daughter-in-laws. Sometimes she can post on Facebook and be a little dramatic. And so I overlooked it yesterday. And today God prompted me to answer. And, you know, she just said it's hard posting pics when you can't find beauty in yourself anymore. And so I just, to encourage her, and of course I prayed over her, you know, how can I further help? Because we don't have the closest relationship, but it is a positive relationship. I just told her real beauty comes from the inside. Your heart shines every time you love your children, that you do something for others, that you say something kind. The image of beauty that the world and the enemy says that we have to live up to is a lie. You are beautiful. Wonderfully made. You've been bought with a price, the extravagant price of the precious blood of Christ. Nothing, I mean nothing, can separate you from the love of God. You have peace that passes all understanding in Christ. You're beautiful and you are rich. Read God's word every day. He has encouraging words for your soul. And I know that's this one thing that she struggles in. They're not consistent. And but
hard.
You know, wherever we can encourage someone else, you know, in their love walk, through our own experience, through the growth that we've had, you know, just to reach out to others. I know it is a lifelong journey for me to realize how much he loves me, and that he sees me for who he knows I will be, mm-hmm. not for everything that I focus on of who I've been and the struggles and the deficiencies that have brought me to where I am. And so it's beautiful, the relationship, realizing what a perfect father he is. You know, we've all had imperfect relationships, and even good relationships that we've had that have ended through no fault of ours, through death, through divorce, and yet our relationship with him, it will never, never, never end.
Right.
He will love us forever. Unending love. Never failing love. More faithful than a rising sun. There's a song that we sung that I love that line, and he's more faithful than the rising sun. Forever and ever. Everlasting love.
Yes. Wow. You know, one of the things that one of my coaches had me do this year, and it's similar to what Dana was just talking about a few minutes ago with the, you know, that list, but it was writing to myself and I love me, the things mm-hmm. I love about me in my journal. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the first day I was sitting there, and I have a lot of words, but with that, I sat there going, oh my, I need help in this area. And I didn't even see, like when she said it, I was just kind of like, oh, that'll be fun. You know, that was the hardest thing. And yet about 3 days in, I began to see myself a lot different. I mean, just 3 days. And then the more that became, you know, what I was doing, it totally was amazing. And even like preparing for this particular event, you know, one of the things I felt like God was saying to me, and I shared it just briefly in the session last night, but one of the things is I believe he wants us to, first of all, know who he is and know how he works. But and then also to know, you know, that he is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he will do what he says he will do,
yes.
including return for his beautiful bride. And that we are who he says we are, and that we can do what he says that we can do, and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do through us for others. And so we've got to really grab a hold of that, because when we get that and we get that really solid, not that we're ever totally there. It's like what you were saying, Dana, we're not totally there. We've got a continuing journey, understanding and getting to know him. We're only seeing, I mean, like if you look at scripture and you look at men and women through scripture, one of the things I noticed many years ago was that God was introducing himself to people through their situations they went through. And God really started saying to me, Cindy, ask me who I am in this, because he is the God who's everything we need, whatever that may be. And mm-hmm. and so in the singleness, he is my good husband, the one who will never leave me, who will never fail me or forsake me, who absolutely adores me, and who literally gave up everything, all the riches of heaven, to come on earth as a man so he could bridge the gap, so he could have a relationship with me. Not just any relationship, not like high and lofty. I mean, now he could be as high and lofty as he wanted to be because he is God. Mm-hmm. But he said, I did this because I want a personal, intimate relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And that blows me away. And then to think of all the things that he's unveiled in scripture, like at times when I've been in need, you know, financially, that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who wants to be and become our provider. Or people, you know, like the times where I've been very, very sick. Last year, I was sick for a long time. And that's kind of odd for me because one of my prayer ministry gifts in the church is praying over people and seeing healings. So imagine where I come to this place going, why am I not? Come on. Come on. Come down. Burn out of me anything that's not of you, Lord. And yet he was saying, Cindy, am I your God, who's your everything? Your everything, including your healing. And what do you say about me? What do you believe about me? What do you think about how I can do things? Do you really believe it? Even if you don't see it the way I say you're going to, you know, like the way I've seen it before, like a lot of times we want to go back and see it the same way. And he, right. You know, this is part of journeying, is getting to know him better and better. And I love what you said here, because I believe as our good bridegroom, he so wants to unveil who he is. And this is part of that dating. I even said tomorrow, one of the things I'm doing, my family's out of town this weekend. And one of the things I'm going to do is take myself on a date with Jesus for breakfast. Mm-hmm. I love those moments. Those mm-hmm. moments all by myself to go and have some, you know, take my Bible. I'm not taking anything but my Bible and my journal, and it's going to be a us time. I can't wait to see what he says to me, because that, you know, this is his sweetest love letter to me. And it's, my favorite version this year is the Passion version. And I love it because it is so passionate. It's so well written. And yet that's how he speaks over us. It's just beautiful. But, you know, Janelle, I do want to go back, you know, what you just said. I love that your sweet daughter in love has you to say how beautiful she is. I think we all need the people in our lives that can hear what we're saying, and they don't judge us. They just love us, and they help us to really be in agreement with God. Because the enemy, they're telling what he's telling her in whatever way he's trying to speak to her. And, you know, we need people that will come in and interrupt. Not that I'm saying be rude or hard or judgmental. That's not what I'm saying. But that will interrupt those thoughts to speak over us the beautiful thoughts that God really has for us. Yeah. And I love that. I just love that you reminded her of who she is, because that, to me, I think that's something we need among each other all the time. Yes. I never totally get that one down. Do you know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I will lose that quick. That's when I say the enemy attacks me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. She was a very young mother, and we had a lot of difficulties, and we finally did come to a place where she sat down and told me that I appreciate, and I realize that you love me in ways that my mother has not loved me. And so I still, you know, I told her, you need to get to church. Y'all been laying out of church, and that's why you're having these problems. But that would just put a wedge between us. So she just needed some love and some reminding. She's got a heart passionate after God. She does dramas to songs that she's anointed, but they're in a season and they're distracted. And she needs to be reminded, and the enemy's tugging on her. Yeah. And so, we've, again, got to slow down, listen to him, obey, not be too busy, so selfish, you know, that we're doing our own things, but be obedient and listen and quickly obey. And so, you know, I saw it yesterday, but I didn't feel an unction. And so it passed by again today, because some people were commenting, I prayed today as well. God, help me, you know, how can I reach out to her mm-hmm. further? Because she does need some encouragement. And so, we've got to have our eyes and ears open, because people are asking for help. They are. And we have the answers. You know, And shame on us for not sharing the gospel, the good news, and the hope. You know, when we've received such a wonderful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must, yeah, like Dana said, falling in love with him and spending time with him, becoming more like him, and then we're just naturally going to share.
Yes.
Others. Yeah.
It just comes out.
That's the end result of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the goal, bringing glory to God.
Well, and you know, one of the things, I just finished a class, and I think that this next class is similar to that in school, and it was right on time for where we are today. I asked the teacher, when did you write this class? And he wrote it 3 years ago. But it was interesting that right when I started studying in this course, it was about, okay, the church has to get this shift and pivot with our culture. And for a long time, we haven't done that. We've had this mentality of build it and they will come, instead of really getting really in the, as I say, in the walk and talk in life of everybody. I was reading, one of my favorite versions of the Bible is the Message Bible. And I love that version. And I have another Bible that I have from college. Oh, you notice they're all really close to me. But this is another one that Peterson wrote some of the notes in it. And it was like my first class in college when I went back, that was one of my textbooks. Can you imagine? And but anyway, I've been reading some of his books, and I didn't realize he had written so many books that he's written, but he's written a bunch to pastors or ministers, or it should be to the body of Christ, quite frankly. But he was talking about being that person who is there in the everydayness of life. The everydayness is where we get real. And I think that's one perk of like the movement to having small groups where people can get a little more intimate. They can get to know each other, because I mean, seriously, who knows me when I go into church and say, hi, everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And who knows me as I'm walking back out the door going, bye y'all. I mean, the ability to get in my business and really help me find freedom is very almost impossible when it's like that. So I believe that everydayness is the key. And that is where we are our finest too. And because, you know, in the everyday walk and talking, even on Facebook moments, those are the moments that we can really put our ear and hear. Does that make sense?
That, you know, I've just been learning this week, just to depend on God's grace. And even in situations like this, just to learn to depend on his grace above all else. You know,
yeah.
I've had a real rough week. So, and I'm in Alabama. I don't know where everybody is. And
I'm Alabama.
Cindy, I used to read Your Time for Tea years ago. You came to Stockton, Alabama.
Yes.
And it was in homeschooling. You had your daughter there then and everybody. But so I didn't realize. And I just saw where you were starting this ministry. So I said, I'm going to try to get in and see what's going on, because I just love your heart and just have been blessed by your ministry. So
thank you so much. Thank you. And normally we don't have the crazy stuff happen. We've never had that happen before. And Janet, I'm glad you joined me tonight. Yeah. Elizabeth is now, she's just weeks away from being 30 years old. Can you even believe that? And she's in the military. She's airborne in North Carolina right now. So it is just awesome. She's in the Army there. Matt is in the Army here in Florida. And he's with the 7th Group Special Forces. And so both my kids are just, I'm so proud of them. They both really work hard for what they do, and they are my heroes. And so truly awesome. And then I've got grandbabies, 3 boy grandbabies. So they're a mess. You would love them. They're so much fun. They just always, they're so wonderful.
Janet, where are you in Alabama?
I am in Daphne, Alabama. Where are you?
Daphne, I'm in Hartsville.
Near Fairhope, Mobile.
Okay. So you're way south.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were at the other end.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm near Mobile. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I used to go to Cindy's groups in Florence years and years and years ago. So that's how
I met. Yeah, I still have some time for Teen Magazine, so.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm hoping I can get her in without having other people get in. I didn't think about that we could lock it. We may do that in the future.
Yeah.
People are so, I mean, there is such a battle right now. I just want to say this. There is such a battle for between light and dark. It's our finest days as Christians. I truly believe that. And yet also darkness, I have never seen it quite like lately. It's like, are they really this brazen that they're out there in this world just doing things just, I mean, like, who would ever not have this shame? I don't get it. To come into a room like that and act like that. You know, you kind of go, you really have the nerve. And so it's to me, it won't let her back in because she was removed. Oh, my dear. Okay, I'm just going, okay, good to see you in the room. We've got some more things like this coming up where – we're going to do some book studies, Bible studies together. I've got, of course, some more events. I've got one coming up I'm excited about. It'll be Come Away, My Beloved. And we're going to talk about hearing God, about how to hear God and hear his voice. I'm looking forward to that one. It's going to be amazing. And then also, you know, I've got other themes for other retreats coming up, and that's, you know, it's just times to come away and really press into his heart. The other things that we have going, I've got some new coaching memberships that are about to be launched and just a lot of fun stuff. And so catch me up, Janet. Tell me a little bit about what you've had going on lately. Like, what are you all about right now?
Well, I'm homeschooling still, my youngest. And so I just had a homeschool co-op in my home because of COVID. We're part of a Navigators big group of 200 that do a co-op on Fridays usually, but we weren't able to get together as a big group. So my son is 14. So we're doing high school level stuff. So I just opened up my home to do labs, biology and a writing class. So, in my home, I just had that today. So that's been a big, we just kicked that off today at our home here. And I had like 10 for biology and then writing. So I felt like that in my home. That's that's a good group. But then I've had other things. I have a daughter, the oldest, she's about to be 23 next week, actually. And she is a law student. I homeschooled her all the way through, too.
Hey, everybody. This is Cindy. I just wanted to hop in here at the end of this audio and let you guys know that here is where we are cutting everything off, and we're closing the recording off from Facebook, as well as since the room is locked up because we had a Zoom bomb. It was crazy. I am cutting this audio off. Thank you again to Dana Beasley. Dana Susan Beasley, we are so thankful for you sharing tonight. We are thankful for an amazing week with all of our speakers. And don't forget, we have some bonus audios also in our set. So don't forget to hop over there and take a peek at those as well, everybody. I think that you'll be blessed. We have future events coming, so make sure to stay connected with me. You can do that at cindyrushton.com and just look there of how to stay connected. There are several different places along the top menu, as well as if you scroll down the front page, you can make sure you're on my list there. You guys have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining me for this amazing series. It's been a lot of fun. And hey, we're going to do it again. Next topic should be, unless Lord changes it, how to hear Him. So don't miss that one for sure. Anyway, have a wonderful night and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.